As our custom here,
found over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. I'd like to start reading verse number 19 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 19. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That would help us all if we would underline that. If we would live by that, it sure would trim down issues. By the way, I'm preaching on the home this morning. Submitting to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It may help your house to get Garth Brooks out. It may help your house to get Johnny Cash and Glenn Campbell out and put you some spiritual songs in there and some hymns. You go to listening to stupid songs, you go to acting stupid. Giving thanks always for all things, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Underline, as unto the Lord. You say, preacher, I'm done with you already. Well, the doors ain't locked. For the husband is, you can underline that, the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. You can underline this in everything. Lord, I just had 100 ladies walk out. I didn't really mean it. Husbands, here it is now. One of the strongest verses I've ever found in my Bible. Husbands, He ain't just talking to one. Ain't you glad if He had said husband, we could have got out of it? Because we could have said He's talking to somebody else. But He said now, boys, somebody going to say amen right there. Rabbit just got up. This world's confused about boys and girls. This same-sex marriage is still out of hell, and it'll always be out of hell. Now, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. You may be seated this morning. Lord Jesus, we love You and we praise You. I want to thank You, God, for the good preaching we had last week. Lord, Brother Eddie Davis sure did help our church, and I want to thank You for that. But God, we know that if You're not on the preaching, it'll just be reading. And Lord, I'm a needful preacher this morning. I need Your help. And I want to ask You today, Lord, as a country boy that You've called to preach the most wonderful book of all books, that's the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus, I beg You and I ask You, first of all, would You cleanse me from all unrighteousness? Would You empty me of self today? And would You fill me with Thy Spirit? And would You just say the words here today that needs to be said to draw lives closer to You? I need it in my family, Lord. I need it where I live. Help our church, I pray. In Christ's name, amen and amen. I want to preach this morning on the daddy is the leader of the home. The daddy is the leader of the home. Now, I want to say, first of all, there's the role of being a dad and a husband. It's a God-given role in the home. I didn't write this Bible. I just read it. And so if you've got issues of what the Bible says, you take it up with the writer. But I'm going to tell you this, he ain't going to apologize about what he's put in his book. There's a lot of boys seem to be apologizing about what's in here, but I ain't apologizing what God wrote about. And I want to say, first of all, God has given you a spouse if you're saved. And if you're married, God has given you a spouse to love her. In Genesis 2 and verse number 23, I'm going to tell you why our churches are weak. Because our homes are weak. I want to tell you why our nation is weak, because our homes are weak. You know, I'm talking about being a real man today. I'm not talking about being some little limberback something. I'm talking about your God-given role to be a man of your house. We need some men to stand up and be men at their house. They need to quit being a mouse, and they need to stand up at the house. Now, I want to tell you, God has given you a spouse. In Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, brought her unto the man. And Adam said, and brought her unto the man. And brought her unto the man. Be sure that gets on the internet. God brought her to the man, not to another woman. Now, I don't want to lose this train of thought, but you young men, you know the best way to get your wife? Go to sleep. And God will be sure. God is so big you can't miss Him, even when you asleep. Let Him bring you the woman to you. Quit looking in the wrong places. Now, He brought her unto the man. Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Hey, fellas, when she hurts, you ought to be hurt. My wife had foot surgery. We so close, I've started dragging my foot. Somebody say amen. Bone of bones and flesh of flesh. I'm going to tell you what. I'm only as in good a shape as what my wife is if we're going to be right with God. There's no way I can be fussing and fighting with my wife and worship God. There's no way that I can be wrong with my wife and right with my God. Can I, Lord, He just gave me that. Can I say that again? There's no way I can be wrong with my wife and be right with my God. Now, he said, this is flesh, my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she is taken out of man. I like that. The old country preacher said, woman. He said, yeah, when he seen her, he said, whoa, man. I like that. I seen my wife coming up the steps this morning. Hey, brother, my guy said, whoa, man. Y'all look like you need a little preaching back here this morning. You know something, 33 years, I still say, whoa, man. Whoa, man. What a pretty woman. A lot of you mom and daddy say, well, these little boys, look at these little girls. They supposed to.
You just whip them and keep them in place. And you little boys, keep your hands to yourself. Move your little Baptist heads up and down. Your school teacher won't tell them, but your preacher will. Now, the role. We see that God gave you a spouse, the man and his wife. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Hey, sir, why don't you be a real man and quit leaning on your mama? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Quit running back down yonder to mom and daddy's house, telling on her. Won't you talk to somebody that can change you? Shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. Now listen. He didn't say cleave to your buddies. Cleave to your wife. If you ain't working nighttime, you ought to be home with your wife. I don't care if you are a coon hunter. Some of them ladies, I would say, well, go out there and sleep in the dog pen. Never understood that. Man leave his wife over a coon dog. Am I doing all right? Am I doing all right? Nighttime, you ought to be home with your wife. Now, he's giving you a spouse. I'm going to tell you, he's giving you a spouse to love her. He's giving you some scriptures. You ought to learn them. He's given us a book of all books. And we ought to know what it says. Now, and then I want to say, not only is he giving you a spouse and he's giving you some scriptures, but he's given some of you siblings. You see, with your spouse, you ought to love her. With the scriptures, we ought to learn them. But with our siblings or our babies, we ought to lead them. Proverbs 22, verse number 6. I won't tarry long here because I'll be there again sometime. But Proverbs 22 and 6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now watch this, train up. That word means to bring along. To bring along. It don't mean send them to school and let them teach them. It means you bring them along. That lets me know about responsibility. We have responsibility. And so we see here, now the word husband, you know what it means? It means a band to hold the home together. That's responsibility. That's your headship. You are to see, you are to be the under shepherd of your home, and you are the band that holds things together. If you know what you do and what you say makes her mad and causes a fight, why in the world do you want to keep kicking that dead horse? Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. Now, my wife has some habits that annoy me. But I can tell you, if I want to get our Saturday started right, all I got to do is throw that saddle on that hobby horse and get on that thing and put on them spurs and let's go. Well, you know what? I just runt. I know it ain't a word, but I said runt. I just runt our Saturday. Some of y'all done got highfalutin. I need to teach you Bowden binocular, weren't? And so if I'm going to keep things together, I've got to learn, first of all, some common sense. Husband, it holds the word of responsibility. And then the word wife, it's an English word which means weaver. She weaves a home together. You know, and I'll preach on that group sometime. Not going to make a promise swing because my series has a tendency to change. But I can tell you this, you ought to thank God if you've got a wife this morning that weaves things together that you can't put together, but she knows how to put together. She weaves. You know why my girls are so tight with her mother? Because she has woven some things together. When I was out chasing the fish, boy, it's quiet now, ain't it? Would one of you ladies just shout and say amen this morning, preacher? You know, when I was out doing the things where I was so self-centered, she was raising the girls. But I noticed things, Brother Leon, got to backfiring on me. When I would cross one of them, I had three to fight. Isn't that right? Can I get a witness in a country church? Woven together, man. I'd say something about one of the girls and there was three of them riled up. Well, maybe that's my fault. Maybe I wasn't the husband man that I needed to have been. I wish this morning, by the grace of God, and I mean this with all my heart, it's two things I wish I could start doing. I wish that I could start pastoring Liberty Baptist Church with what I know today instead of 18 years ago. And all of the things that I did and said that hurt me more than hurt anybody else. And then I wish I could have raised my grandbabies first. Ain't they wonderful? I mean, I don't want to get on them children, but ain't it amazing how two can be so different? I mean, you pop your finger at one and they melt on the floor. You pop your finger at one, they said, come on up in here. I mean, ain't that amazing now? I mean, same mom and daddy. But I want to say, first of all, the role of the man in the home, it's a powerful role. Because, you see, it's a role of direction. They look to you. And they listen to you. And they live like you. Can I say that again? They look to you. They listen to you. You know why some of your young'uns cussing? Because they hear you cussing. You know why your young'uns say stuff down there in Sunday school and the teachers say, well, they didn't hear it from their preacher. But I'm not beyond it. But I'm not condoning it. It's a powerful role. They look to you. Hey, Daddy, are you around enough for them to look to you? They listen to you, and they live like you. They live like you. Most of the time, they live like us. We've got to be careful. Somebody says, well, you leave me alone because I ain't affecting nobody but me. That's a lie. Oh, that's a big lie. It does affect others. Now, it's a powerful role. It's a role of direction, verse number 23, back to our text in Ephesians 5 and verse 23. It is a role of direction. The husband is the head of the wife. Now, they're looking, listening, and they're living the way we do. Our wives and our children, they're living in the environment that we set. Now, if you are the headship as the man, it is a role of direction. Can I ask you something where you're taking your family? Where are you taking your family? Because they're following you. And then I want to say it's not only a role of direction, it's a role of decision. Verse 23, the head makes all the decisions. Now, somebody said this one time about this church. Well, I won't go down there because of this and that. Well, let me tell you something. Even the preacher here ain't got to say so. Because Christ is the head. And He makes all the decisions. So if you don't like how something's run here most of the time, you take it up with Him. And leave your opinions to yourself. Because the last time I checked in, He's doing a real good job at what He does. Now, it may not suit us all the time. Like what Brother Randy said, it may not work out how we thought it would, but I can tell you, it will always work out to your good, because He's a good God. Now, it is a role of direction, and it is a role of decision. The head makes a decision. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's some tough decisions. Daddies, I'm fixing to help you now. I'm telling you now. I done walked here 33 years nearly. And got two raised. Thank the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's some tough decisions. When my girls would come home and they had half of a dress on. And they'd been down to Belk's and they'd got on the half price rack. But what they didn't understand, the reason is half off because they only got half a dress. Shake your little Baptist heads like this. Young lady, when you ain't got enough dress on to clean out a gun barrel, you ain't got enough dress on. Amen. Well, I know y'all wouldn't like that. But there is tough decisions. Now, I'm not talking about entrapment. I'm not talking about keeping them on a leash. You ever seen a dog when he's put in a pen? And you move to town and you turn him out, he won't last 30 minutes in the country. Same way with children. When you imprison children, and honey, when they turn 18, they're going to show you something. Now, I'm all for doing right, raising right. I am in both feet. But let me tell you something. You got to let young'uns be young'uns. And men, sometimes, not only do you give direction, you got to make decisions. You got to make decisions whether they run in with the right crowd or not. I went and bought me a town dog one time. My German Shepherd, something had happened. I love German Shepherds. They don't let mean people in the yard. Somebody say amen. And I went to town, got him, and I got there, and this dog, he's in a fence. Big subdivision, nice place. They was moving. They said, "Are you going to take good care of my dog?" I said, "Oh, I'm going to take good care of him." So I took him home and I snapped him on a lead. And I, oh no, this story ain't going to help my sermon. But anyway, the dog got off the lead. He didn't do too good in traffic. So it is with children. You got to teach children, train them up as they go. You can't just put blinders on them and a paper sack over the head. You got to train them as they go. But it's going to be some tough decisions that you got to make. Hey, Daddy, God holds you accountable. Holds you accountable because you are the headship of that home. You show direction and you show some decision. You got to make some decision. I don't care if they're the who's who. And if they were the wrong crowd, your kids is going to get in trouble. Do you hear me this morning? You need to go through their chest of drawers. You need to look up under their bed. We used to have 8-track tape players. We'd hide all our stuff in there where the 8-track went. You young'uns don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all just... You got to make some tough decisions. And ladies, you remember this, when you stand there before God with Him and you bucked everything He ever had to say, I wonder what God's going to say to you. And Daddy, when you won't stand up and make the right decision, I wonder what God's going to say to you. Now let me tell you something. I don't preach a hate gospel. You look in your Bible and this is what you'll find. Jesus said, come out from the world and be ye separate. Now at our church, we're going to love on people. It don't take you long to look around at how ladies here dress that you know how to come to church. Some of you young boys, you done upgrown big enough to drive, you ought not wear short breeches to church. Somebody say amen. I mean, I don't care if you wear blue jeans and a t-shirt. That don't bother me none. Matter of fact, if it didn't run the brethren crazy, I'd be in a pair of overalls this morning, and my wife included. It runs her crazy when I wear them. We got to make decisions, and it's hard to say. Watch, daddies, where your children's going, and watch who they're running with. You've got to make decisions. You can't keep them thrown in a closet all the time and then turn them loose at 18 and expect them to know how to function. Train them up. Now, it is a powerful role. It's a role of direction. It's a role of decision. And it's a role of deliverance. Deliverance. Where do you get that, Pastor? Verse 23. He said, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You know what the word save means? It means to rescue. And let me tell you something, daddies. We are to offer protection and deliverance at our home. Some of you men stay out running with the boys all the time, come home, and these young'uns done run your wife slam crazy. They looking crazy, acting crazy. It's your fault. It ain't her fault. The role of deliverance, a Savior. He is a deliverer. Now, first of all, we need to save them from the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6 and verse number 11. Am I doing okay? Paul finishes writing now and he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of the night. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles, it means trickery or to lie in wait. The devil's just waiting on you, sir. And then he's waiting on you, ma'am. And he's waiting on every one of these little young'uns. Can I ask you something? If the devil, where's that bucket this morning? Have we still got that bucket here? If the devil, we talking about the wiles of the devil. If the devil can play a trick on you, daddy, and get you out of church, I just wonder where your kids is going to use that bucket at. You think that don't mean much to you, but ain't that amazing when we put that bucket up there? Every little young'un in this church knows what to do. They're to go and they're giving their little money to the Lord. We can miss anything in our service, but we can't miss that because all your kids is going to remind me. The wiles. Now I'm going to tell you how crafty he is. If he can blow me out of a Bible preaching church, he's got my young'uns. And you better realize you are the protector. You are a deliverer of your children. The wiles of the devil. Now, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, boy, he's a crafty devil, isn't he? He wants your children. He wants your home. He wants everything he can get. Now, the wiles of the devil. I want you to notice, first of all, he tells us some things in verse number 11 that we are to do to be a protector of our home. We are to put on, not hang it on you, but put it on you. Look what he says. The whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness, the world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now he says, first of all, in verse number, he says, I want you in 13, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We've got so many devils turned loose on our families, it's unbelievable. Did you know pastors are facing things in our churches today that our forefathers never... Did you know one of my Bible heroes was Brother Monroe Wiggins? Now, I know Brother Monroe wasn't perfect, neither am I, but I'm going to tell you what he'd do. He'd get a Bible, he'd get full of God, and he'd tell you what God said. He scared me to death preaching. I mean, when he'd come by your pew, it's just like he was looking down in your soul. Amen. We're missing preachers like that today. He says, I want you to take, first of all, in 14, I want you to get a belt. And if you'll get this belt of truth, I want you to gird about it with truth. I want you to get you a belt and put it on real tight, and that's to keep loose garments out of the way. And then in verse 14, I want you to get a breastplate. There I want you to hold it up, and you'll be able to quench all those fiery darts of the devil. This breastplate, be careful with. Then verse 15, he talked about your boots. And I seen something here this morning. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Boots. You don't run in boots. You fight in boots. You kick in boots. You stomp in boots. You don't go get your flip-flops on and put them on and face the devil. This ain't running gear, neighbor. It's standing gear. You don't run with all this armor. It's there to stand. We need that to stand. He talks about the helmet, and we go on and on. Then verse 17, I want you to watch this now. In verse 16, above all, I want you to take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Boy, he loves to fire them darts in our heart, don't he? Then he says this, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He wants you to take the blade with you. The sword. Now, what kind of sword? He wants a sharpened sword. This is our sword. Look what he says, which is the Word of God. Just not any sword will fight the battle. A lot of you say, well, I'm going to get me a new King James Bible. Why you need a new one? You can't live out of the old one. Matter of fact, in the new King James Bible, if you got new King James Bible wrote on your Bible, you got the wrong Bible. You see, God was removed 51 times out of it. What about that? The Lord was removed 66 times. Repent was removed 44 times, and it's called remorseful. Damned was removed entirely. It's called condemned. That ain't near as seriously as damned. Damned is eternal. Heaven was removed 50 times. It's changed to sky. Lord, I'm glad I'm not going to live in the sky. Boy, that's some more Bible, ain't it? What, preacher? Man, I went and bought this new King James Bible. Burn it! Winter's coming. Save it. Burn it. When heaven's not in your Bible, you don't need that Bible. Devil was moved entirely. Can't find devils in it, in there. Blood was removed 23 times. Oh, I'm going to get me a new King James Bible. You know, they just a little different. Well, let me tell you this. If they different, they're not the same. That's a little deep for some of you boys. Replaces hell with Hades and Sheol. Don't want to offend nobody. Now, don't preach on hell.
You listen, this old country preacher. You die without the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell in your sins. Hades in the Webster, you know what it means? The underground, the abode of the dead. Didn't Jesus talk about hell? There was gnashing of teeth, where the fire was never quenched. In the New Testament alone, things was removed 2,289 words. Over 100,000 total changes. That's unbelievable to me. It's how subtle the devil is. I close. You see, it's a powerful role. Number two, it's a passionate role. Verse 25 in our text, husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How much did he love me and you? Aren't you glad he wasn't in love with himself? This is what tickles me. Some of you boys, you go buy you a new shotgun or four-wheeler and your wife is wearing them poor old toe sack dresses. Get quiet. You don't scare me and you get quiet. You want the latest and the greatest of all your hunting gear, all your fishing gear, all your ball playing gear. You'll give $300 for a ball bat and you'll fuss when your wife spends $60 at the coach outlet. Yeah. Amen. Go on and say amen right there, preacher.
Amen.
Loved his wife. We're to love our wife. Christ loved the church. It's a passionate role. We're to love our wives with an unselfish love. She is a spiritual, physical, and emotional. She's a weaker vessel. 1 Peter 3, verse number 7. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 7. She is a weaker vessel. But I'm going to tell you what I've noticed about some women around here. You the weaker vessel, sir. First Peter 3 and verse number 7. Some of you boys got to look and see how your wife responds when you say amen. Well, I better not say amen to that preacher. He said that my wife going to get me on the way home. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. As being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It's so wonderful when your marriage is right. It's wonderful. You know what my wife said to me when she stepped in that side door there today? Now, it ain't none of your business, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You know what she said? Let me get over here because the visitors don't know where she's at. I walked up over there. She said, give me a kiss, Daddy. I give her a little kiss. We come right on here in church. Why couldn't some of y'all done that this morning? We could have had a lot better service. It's wonderful to be in a great relationship. It's a passionate role. You're to love your wife with an unselfish love. Think about her feelings sometimes. You're to love your wife with an unending love. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Unending love. And then we're to love our wife with an unequal love. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You see, there's no doubt in my mind in Christ's teachings, it's a powerful role. It's a passionate role. But it's a priestly role. Verse 26 and verse number 27, that he might sanctify, cleanse of the wash of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Priestly role. Why should the father be the priest in the home? Because of his position, he's the head.
The father's responsibility is to present the family to God, sanctified as Christ presents the church to the Father. His position is purification. The priest cleansed himself and the people. And then the presentation. Holy, without blemish, dedicate your heart and home to God. You daddies, you ought to have a policy around your table. You never eat until you bless your food and thank God for it. You ought to have family altars together. You ought to pray together. Boy, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That's a mouthful, sir. That's a very powerful verse. But I'm going to tell you, it's a very prosperous verse. If you love your wife as Christ loved the church, didn't you know because He loved you, it drew you? Don't you think if you love your wife, it'll draw her? Well, my wife gives me the cold shoulder. Maybe the way you're treating her. The priestly role. Sir, it's your responsibility to get your children to church. You ladies, I commend you living in single-parent homes. You're raising children by yourself. And I'm going to tell you something. God has a special place for you in His heart. It's shameful that you've got to take that role, but I sure am glad that you are. Isn't it bad when a lady's got to step up? Sir, do you love your family? Let me share. I just want you to come. Don't want silence. I want you to play something for me if you would. Sir, do you really love your family? Do you have any idea what you're going to stand for when God calls us home in the judgment seat bar of God? And do you have any idea, sir, what you're going to give an account for? First of all, you're going to give an account whether if you're saved or not. Are you saved? Christ died for you that you could be. Daddies, you got any inkling how the devil would love to set a trap for you, get your family divided? You're the husband. You're the band. You're to keep your family together. You're to keep your family in God's house. It's your responsibility. You say, well, preacher, we've got issues. Let me tell you something. There ain't nobody in this house ain't got issues. But I can tell you one thing, there's nothing that this altar can't fix. You know, would y'all think just about something? I'm shutting this sermon down quick. I mean, it's just a little after 12. I mean, people are going to pass by here and think our church closed. But I want you to think about something, isn't it? The old timers. Why don't you think a minute? Brother Donald Hubbard's era, 75 to 85, why don't you think about something? Brother Lee, when they put crops in the ground, they had to have God to bring them up. That's all they had. They stayed close to God. Sunday, they brought their families to church. Wasn't an option. I'm not going to belittle this. I'm not making fun of nobody. You never heard of divorce then much. And I'm not going to beat and bash you about your divorce. Things happen. I know things happen. I didn't wake up yesterday. But let me tell you something, friend. The reason our lifestyle is the way it is, because we're in a generation different than their generation. They had nothing, but they had everything. Now we got everything, they ain't got nothing.
They had to have God. They had to have Him. But you know something, sir? That ain't changed. You got to have Him too. It's just up to you. Are you going to be a man and take charge and love your wife? She's not a doormat, sir. And a man that hit his wife, you're a skunk. You're a little low-life punk. You're a punk. Anybody can hit a woman, come hit the preacher. You'll have 50 rednecks climb you like a jungle gym. Maybe 100 rednecks. Won't you be daddy today? Won't you gather around these altars and ask God to break your heart for your family?